Grace to you and peace from Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. We meditate this evening on select verses from Mark chapter 11, where we read about how Jesus cursed the fig tree and then what became of it. From Mark 11, beginning at verse 12. The next day, as they were leaving Bethany, Jesus was hungry. Seeing in the distance a fig tree in leaf, he went to find out if it had any fruit. When he reached it, he found nothing but leaves, because it was not the season for figs. Then he said to the tree, "May no one ever eat fruit from you again." And his disciples heard him say it. In the morning, as they went along, they saw the fig tree withered from the roots. Peter remembered and said to Jesus, "Rabbi, look, the fig tree you cursed has withered." "Have faith in God," Jesus answered. "I tell you the truth. If anyone says to this mountain, 'Go throw yourself into the sea,' and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says will happen, it will be done for him. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. And when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive him, so that your Father in heaven may forgive you your sins." This is the word of the Lord. We bow our heads in prayer. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. In the name of Jesus Christ, your brothers and sisters in the faith, all over the world, people have great expectations. Where the economy is good and you have a job, your boss expects you to fulfill certain functions or else. Sometimes it seems like it doesn't matter how well you fulfill them, you still get the or else. May seem that way for students sometimes with teachers too. There are certain expectations that the teachers have a right to expect of the students. And there were expectations that Jesus had on this Monday and Tuesday of Holy Week. Jesus has great expectations as we follow him in the first phase of our journey, at least, from Bethany to Jerusalem. You hear this account from Mark chapter 11 and maybe wonder, did Jesus get up on the wrong side of the bed? Humanly speaking, I could see why. The day before was Palm Sunday. He had entered into Jerusalem with people streaming out of the city and those with him from Galilee coming into the city and the loud hosannas. "Save, Lord, we pray." Even the children were crying out, and if he had stopped them, the stones would have cried out. It was a great day. Till he came into Jerusalem, went up to the temple, and no doubt did not like what he saw. But it was too late in the day, so he went back out to Bethany to spend the night. That's where he spent the night during Holy Week. Did he come without breakfast, hungry when he saw that fig tree off in the distance and went up expecting figs? Or did he have a right to expect what he expected? As the Creator, most certainly, he can do with his creation what he wants. It was about the time of the Passover, so it was springtime. And it's a little confusing to know about figs, unless you've grown them. There was a Jewish Christian in the 1800s, about 1881, writing a book about Jesus. And he was thrown off by this passage about figs. His name was Alfred Adersheim. Traveled from Scotland all the way to Jerusalem because this passage troubled him so. How could Jesus curse the fig tree and expect figs? Alfred Adersheim, as the story goes, stuck his hand into a fig tree where there were some leaves and found little gray things that looked like lozenges in the springtime. The people told him that unless you found those on the tree, there would be no fruit later on in the spring, in the summer or the fall. Buds or something, but you could eat them. And travelers often did to hold off the hunger until they could find something to eat. Is that what the Lord was talking about, or is another theory better, that fig trees are just supposed to bear figs at the same time they bear leaves? I don't know. But the lesson's clear, isn't it? Even if you never raised a fig tree or picked one off a tree, all leaves is all show. Like a hypocrite Christian who looks good on the outside, but there's really nothing there. God expects fruit. Jesus expects faith in God that shows. Jesus expects figs. Faith in God shows. If we had some young cheerleaders here, you'd probably say, what does that spell? F-I-G-S. Faith in God shows. Jesus expects figs. Jesus expects the faith in God that shows, first of all, in prayer. And Jesus tells his disciples here to be confident in prayer. To really appreciate what Jesus is saying, we're going to take a satellite view of the earth and go to the far side, north of Africa there, swivel around to get north, and come in on this little strip of land between the Mediterranean Sea and what is now desert. It was in Jesus' day too. Into Jerusalem, actual satellite pictures of Jerusalem. And I've noticed since the last version of Google Earth came out, they've actually decreased the resolution, so you can't see the houses even as well as you used to be able to. Terrorists could use this for targeting. So the Israelis don't want you to be able to see really even where the streets are. But this is actually what it looks like with the sea somewhat enhanced there and the Dead Sea, which is drying up now. And if you go straight west of the Dead Sea, you come to Jerusalem. This is the area that we're talking about. This is Bethlehem to the south, only a few miles away. And the closer you get, the more you realize that back in those days, it was some distance across open country, and now it's city all the way. A better view is this one. Since we're taking these journeys with Jesus through this season of Lent, I thought it might be helpful for you at least to have this picture of Jesus, Jerusalem back in his day. And this is looking off toward the east, toward Bethany. If you see this wording up here, it's a little bit small, but often the distance is the Dead Sea. So you're looking off toward where the Jordan River is, and Bethany was on that road that led from Jericho of the Jordan up the hills all the way to Jerusalem. This is the temple across from the Garden of Gethsemane and separated by the Kidron Valley. So that when Jesus in Matthew 24 had left the temple and sat on the Mount of Olives where the Garden of Gethsemane is found, they were actually with their back to the garden looking across at this magnificent temple of Herod, one of the great wonders of the ancient world. When Jesus came into Jerusalem the day before our text on Palm Sunday, he came from Bethany and up from Bethphage up this hill, crossed the Mount of Olives and came into town, and then left and spent the night probably with his friend Lazarus and the two sisters, Mary and Martha. What you have to understand about confidence in prayer when Jesus says this is the layout of the land. Jesus tells his disciples to pray confidently when he says, have faith in God. I tell you the truth, if anyone says to this mountain, go throw yourself into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says will happen, it will be done for him. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. Mount Zion stands where the temple is, even to this day, although owned by the Muslims now and controlled as part of their Dome of the Rock under Islam. But it's 2,500 feet above sea level. Only these maybe 14 miles away to the Dead Sea, you drop about 4,000 feet because the Dead Sea is 1,600 feet below sea level. That's the sea that they would have been talking about as Jesus and his disciples are coming up the hill and looking at Jerusalem in front of them. He curses the fig tree, and then when they come into Jerusalem, they're looking at Mount Zion, and Jesus says, if you have faith in God, you can ask God to take this mountain and throw it several miles away and plunge it about 4,000 feet. Whose power is that? Not yours and mine. Not even the power of your prayer. Jesus is telling his disciples to have faith in the power of God Almighty. The one who made the mountains can throw the mountains into the sea. And he wants us to have the faith in God that shows in confident prayer. Jesus, our dear Savior, does not just tell us to pray confidently, though. He also shows us. Do you remember the prayer in the upper room when Jesus was giving his disciples the Passover meal? It says he took the cup and gave thanks. In Greek, you would say Eucharist. That's where the term Eucharist comes from. Not a bad name for the Lord's Supper. It's a supper of thanksgiving as we celebrate tonight. This confidence in God that Jesus, especially because he is on his way to the cross and his great and glorious resurrection, he takes the cup and gives thanks to God. He shows us how to pray confidently. But you see it in the garden too. Three times he prays to his heavenly Father, if it be your will, let this cup pass from me. The disciples he took with him are asleep. Soon they will forsake him and flee away. He is alone, and his heavenly Father does not answer. And as he prays so earnestly that the sweat comes out like great drops of blood falling to the ground, and yet he prays on. Confidently, thy will be done. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Confident that when he gives up his soul to God, it will be safe, because you will not leave my soul in hell, in the grave. You will not suffer my soul, your dear one, to see decay, to see destruction. Jesus prayed confidently. He tells us and he shows us. And he showed us on the cross too, didn't he? Because one of his seven words was all about confident prayer. And the second fig that he wants to see from faith in God that shows. Remember what Jesus prayed on the cross? Father, forgive them. Father, forgive them. Confident prayer and the kind of forgiving spirit that the Lord wants us to show in our faith. Faith in God's power and faith in God's forgiveness. Jesus says in the last verse of our text, when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive him, so that your Father in heaven may forgive you your sins. In Jesus' Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 6, Jesus tells us the flip side, how serious he is about this. He says, if you do not forgive them their sins, neither will your Father in heaven forgive you your sins. What does that mean then when someone says, Pastor, God says we're supposed to forgive and forget, but I just can't forget what was done to me. I just can't forgive that person. Sometimes I've run into such bitterness that people actually want so-and-so to go to hell. They do not want that person to repent. It's like Jonah sitting outside of Nineveh and getting angry at God. because the Ninevites repented, and he wanted those cruel Assyrians destroyed. What does the Lord say? If you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father in heaven forgive yours. Our lack of forgiveness for those who sin against us is like saying to God, no, I don't need your forgiveness. I'll pay for my sins myself. The problem is, in order to pay for my sins, I couldn't do a thing about yours. But to pay for my sins, I would have to spend forever in hell. And not just sins in general, but just one slip of the tongue. Just one sinful thought in the heart. Just one fleeting moment of a feeling that ought not be there when I'm supposed to love the Lord my God with all my heart and soul and mind and love my neighbor as myself. Just once. And it would take forever in hell. How would I ever pay for my own sins or you pay for yours? This is God's law. And that cross speaks it loud and clear. This is how serious God is about sin. He wants to see figs. He does not want to curse our soul. And so he tells his disciples, he wants us to have a forgiving spirit. Faith in God shows in a forgiving spirit. But he doesn't just tell us. He shows us. Which of the disciples was it that remembered Jesus' curse? Do you find that rather strange? Jesus cursed the tree the day before on Monday. He comes back into town early on Tuesday. In the morning, as they went along, they saw the fig tree withered from the roots, and Peter remembered and said to Jesus, Rabbi, look, the fig tree you cursed is withered. Wow, Peter remembered. He could sure remember the curse of the fig tree. But he had a little problem with, before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me three times. He forgot and denied his Lord three times. When the rooster crowed the second time and Jesus turned and looked at him, then Peter remembered and went out and wept bitterly. And what did Jesus do? He forgave him. After Jesus rose again from the dead, he reinstated Peter on the shores of the Sea of Galilee and said, feed my sheep, feed my lambs. He forgave Peter completely, as he forgives us all for all of our sins. Jesus shows us forgiveness. Forgiveness for you and me on the cross. Remember what he said? Well, there was a man who was being admonished by a pastor, rather elderly pastor, a lot of years under his belt. I don't think I would have thought about that. But this man remembered what Jesus said on the cross, and he was absolutely sure what he said to this pastor. I got plenty of time to repent. I don't have to worry about that today. Pastor, don't you remember the dying thief? Savvy pastor. He had a question. Which one? Which one? There were two, one on either side of Jesus, both railing on him. And one of them stopped and told the other, we're getting what we deserve. This man is innocent. And then, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And to him Jesus said, today, you will be with me in paradise. But the other? No repentance. It was too late. In that second lesson this evening, when Paul is making his appeal in the Lord's name as Christ's ambassador, he says, today is the day of salvation. We appeal to you on Christ's behalf. Be reconciled to God. Tomorrow may be too late. Jesus did not owe us this Lenten call today to follow him, to learn from him forgiveness and confident prayer. But what if What if my faith is just not as strong as it ought to be? What if sometimes I have doubts in my prayers? What if I'm not as sure as I ought to be when I ask God for something? What if I'm not even sure what to pray? And what if I have a problem with a forgiving heart? Then, dear Christian friends, remember what that seminary professor keeps on telling his students. Every time I look inside my heart for faith, the little bugger flees. The little bugger hides. I can't find my faith in my heart. You're looking in the wrong place. It's not the strength of our prayers that throws the mountain into the sea. It's the power of God Almighty and his promises to answer, according to his good and gracious will, whatever is best for us in the eternal scheme of things. Thy will be done. And you look at Jesus. You don't just hear about forgiveness. You don't just see it. You don't just hear a command. But you hear Jesus' forgiveness for you. Today you will be with me in paradise. Son, be of good cheer. Your sins are forgiven. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. He remembers that we are dust. The object of our faith is not our faith. Our faith rests on Jesus Christ. He is the solid foundation. And when Jesus says he wants to see figs, faith in God that shows, he's saying again to us in this Lenten season, hear the call to repentance and renewal. Deny yourself. Pick up your cross and follow me. Because when you're watching Jesus and hearing Jesus, it's the good news. This good news has the power for your prayers, for your forgiveness. And then every time something comes to mind of what someone did against you, it becomes an opportunity to take that person or that situation to the Lord in confident prayer and pray again the Lord's forgiveness and blessing on whoever has harmed you. The memory becomes an opportunity of forgiveness and faith. Figs, faith in God that shows your life and mine is glory be to Jesus. Amen. Please rise.